We're going to be starting off this morning in Philippians chapter 4, and then we're going to come back to Matthew chapter 6. You know, talking about Thanksgiving, it's hard to believe it's Thanksgiving again. Because it seems like summer and spring and summer really flew by, and we're back to Thanksgiving and Christmas. Goodness, times are flying. But I was looking at, like I said, I was looking at some of the things that the history on Thanksgiving and how it started, and what prompted, if you will, Thanksgiving. And from what I read, it said that the Native Americans kind of passed that tradition along down to the new colonists back in the late 1600s, and just showing them that, you know, this is what we do every year, if you will. After harvest, we have a season of thanks, you know, to give thanks for the harvest, and of course for the colonists, it was, you know, for surviving their first year, if you will, here in the new world. So, you know, that's kind of how that became a tradition. But I was thinking about, well, how did it come about? Well, what were they thankful for? And, you know, they did a lot of work, you know, in order to survive. They planted crops. They had to learn how to plant crops again, if you will, how everything grew here. It'd be like us in South America up in the mountains. You can't just get tractors and stuff up there to garden on the sides of the mountains, right? If any of our seasoned farmers here ever went down there to try to farm in some of these conditions, they would have to get with some of the local farmers, if you will, to learn how they do things. You know, they call it, in some places, they call it like step farming, I think they called it. And they would farm literally off the side of the mountain, and they would have to do everything by hand. And there was just a little bit extra to learn. So, and the reason I bring that up is because when the colonists were here initially, they had to learn some new things. They might have farmed and had gardens before, but it was different here, right? Just different climate and all those kinds of things. So once they put that work in to learn something new, guess what? Well, they got their harvest and they gave thanks to the Lord for it. So what would have happened if they would have just came here and sat down and not done anything, right? They wouldn't have really had much to give thanks for in that sense, because they did nothing to prepare for God's blessing, did they? They did nothing to prepare for it. That was reminding me, Don brought up something this morning about, you know, having workers in the nursery and just in general. You know, when we talk about the ministries and things that go on here at the church, in 2 Kings chapter 3, there's a story about the Israelites when they went out to do battle against some enemies. And one of the things that happened was they were put at a great disadvantage, but the Lord was going to come and fight on their behalf. And the Lord says, hey, I need you to go dig some ditches out there. And the Lord didn't tell them why they were digging ditches. They said, I need you to go out there in this field in the middle of the night, go dig ditches. So what in the world, the Israelites were thinking, what in the world are we digging ditches for? We're warriors. What are we going to, you know, why are we digging ditches? So they dug the ditches, and the next morning, the Lord said he filled up that whole field, all the ditches, said he filled up with water. And then once the sun came up, you know, with the red sun, it looked like, as the sun shone on it, it looked like the fields were full of blood. Well, the enemy goes and they go over the hill, and they look out on the desert there from this clearing out there from a ways off, and they said, it looks like they warred against each other and killed each other off. It says that there's so much blood down there in this area, we don't even have to go to fight, right? So they took off the other, they went on their way. There was no battle. But the reason why I bring that up is because if the Israelites, they went out there and they dug the ditches, what would have happened if they wouldn't have dug the ditches? Would the Lord have blessed them? You know, and the reason why I say it, what Donna brought up this morning, just the different ministries we have here at the church, you know, if we want the Lord to bless, we have to be prepared to receive it. You know, that's kind of the point. We have to be prepared to receive it. You know, we have to, just an example of what Don brought up, if we want more kids, well, we have to facilitate kids. And this was brought up to us even when we first got here by some of the deacons and some of the other personnel. You know, it'd be nice to have these things, you know, and to be able to facilitate. If we want more musicians, we have to facilitate, you know, musicians, if you will. If we want more folks coming to Sunday school, we got to facilitate those things, right? If we want to plan for something, one of the desires that was expressed when we first got here was it'd be nice to do some audiovisual stuff, you know, to be able to start recording. Well, guess what? If those folks never would have came forward and said that they would like to do this, that desire wouldn't be there, and there would be nobody to facilitate it. But you know what? Those folks, they've been ready right from the get-go to facilitate that. And, you know, slowly we're getting those kinds of things set up. But the reason I bring that up is because if you don't dig the ditches, right, if you don't prepare for the blessing of the Lord, if you don't prepare for something from the Lord, then you can't expect them to give it, right? And if you want a bowl of cereal and you don't got a bowl, I'm not going to give you cereal. It's just going to spill out all over the place, you know, and you won't be able to take care of it. You know, and that's the point that I want to bring up this morning. It's almost a little bit different. The Lord just kind of put that on my heart to say this morning. But, you know, coming into the new year, you know, if the Lord wants you to do something, then do it. right? And this is not pointing fingers at anybody. I mean, it could be the Lord might be wanting myself to take on a little bit something extra. I don't know. But just be praying about that. The Lord might want you to do something. And it might not seem like there's really a need for it, but the Lord's put it on your heart, then do it. Right? Let him worry about filling up that cup, if you will. You know, what am I buying this bucket for? There's nothing in it. Well, let the Lord worry about that. You know, he'll be the one to fill it up and give you a reason for doing those kinds of things, right? Like I said, the Lord put that on my heart to say this morning. I'm not even really part of the sermon, but just putting that out there. We're looking at Philippians chapter 4 this morning. I'm going to start off there. Like I said, it's hard to believe it's Thanksgiving again. It's not your typical Thanksgiving sermon, but it does have to do with Thanksgiving because of the part where we're at here in the Bible. But I want to approach that more from the point of view of being content. You know, of course, we understand with giving thanks about something is that's kind of like an action, if you will. Thanksgiving, it's an action, something you constantly do. But being content is kind of the same, but it's more of a state of being, if you will. It's not about what you do, but more of a state of being. It's just being content. So we'll look at Philippians chapter 4 here in verse 11 real fast. And this is Paul speaking. Paul is speaking when he wrote the Philippians, he wrote it from jail, right? And jails at this time, they weren't a very nice place. In fact, if you didn't have friends and family that brought you food and blankets, you might die in jail because of the conditions, right? The jailers didn't care if you died in jail. They would just throw you in there to serve your punishment. Right, so if you wanted to do well in jail in these times, you better have some good family and friends that would bring you stuff. So Paul is writing from jail, and he writes this book of Philippians to be a book or a letter, if you will, of encouragement. Right, so Paul's in one of the darkest places that he's been in his life, and then yet he writes about encouragement here in Philippians. So let's look at Philippians 4, verse 11. It says, "Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." You know, Paul, he's saying this, he says, you know, here I am, sitting on this cold floor, stone floor, it's damp in here. Leprosy was a common thing back in those days because of the damp conditions, especially in these stone houses and stone jails. But Paul is saying, he says, I've learned to be content wherever I'm at. If I'm here in this jail, I'm content. I'm okay with it. It doesn't affect me whatsoever. I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. I'm content. I'm okay to be here because I know it's the Lord that's put me here. Again, it says, not that I speak in regard to need. Right. Even though he is in need, he said, I'm not speaking from that heart, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, how many of us can say that in our ups and downs, and some of us have experienced some great ups and downs, can we sit there and say, I can be just as happy in my time of excess, if you will, in time of full of blessing. I can be just as happy in those times as I can be in the times when I feel like I've got nothing and everything's going wrong. And that's what contentment is. You know, to have a steady keel, if you will, to be steady, to be content in the worst of times and also in the hardest of times. And I'm not talking about being sad. Sad and happiness, that's a little bit different, if you will. What I'm talking about is just being okay with it all, right? Being okay because, you know, the Lord's in control. That's what contentment is, right? And Paul is saying that right here from this jail. You know, we got to learn to be content. Right, now let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, and like I said, this kind of continues our study with the Gospels, but it also deals with what we're talking about today. Matthew 6:25 is where we're continuing on here. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" Right? Cubits, roughly right around 18 inches or so. And that'd be a lot to add to somebody's height, 18 inches. But that's what the Bible's saying is, you know, if you worry, you're not doing yourself any good. Right. If you could say, if the example here was to say, if any of you could worry and get your dishes done, that wouldn't really make sense. Right. Because that's something you have control over. Right. If you're concerned about, let's say, if you're concerned about your kids eating enough food, well, that's kind of more of a concern than a worry because you have control over that. That's something you can fix. Well, fix some more green beans and chicken, I guess, you know, or corn. Right. I'm worried that my tire out there is going flat. Well, what can you do? Well, you can take it down to CW shop and get it fixed, right? That's something you have control over. But what the Lord is saying here, he says, don't worry about the things you have no control over whatsoever, right? Don't worry if you're too short, right? Because what's that going to do for you? Worrying about it's not going to do anything, right? Don't worry that if you're sitting in your living room one day and a plane's going to crash through your ceiling. Why? But don't worry about those kinds of things. You have no control over that. And that's what the Bible's talking about. Don't worry about those kinds of things. And then in verse 25 it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? You know, this is a good introduction for the rest of this chapter, right? Because this kind of sets the tone for the rest of the things that we're going to read here in the rest of chapter 6. Like I said, there's some things you don't worry about. Don't worry about, the Bible says here, don't worry about the type of clothes you're going to put on. Why is that even a thing? Should we walk around in t-shirt and shorts all day? No, right? What the Bible's talking about here is there are some people, and I'm putting in the context of what's already been taught in chapter 6 and the things that we're going to see here in a second, there are some people that think their clothing somehow elevates them to a different stature, if you will, right? A prime example of this back in my teens, whenever I used to play a lot of basketball back in the day. And when I would go down to the playground after school to play basketball with some of the other high schoolers and stuff there on the team, we'd get out there and play, and some of the kids, they would bring their shoes wrapped up in like a plastic bag or a towel, right? They wouldn't wear those things anywhere else except on the basketball court. Somehow those shoes were going to help, and maybe it did to a certain extent. But I used to like taking things a little bit further. Man, I used to, on Christmas and my birthday, I used to ask Mom and Dad for Michael Jordan stuff. It had to be Michael Jordan. Jersey, shorts, whatever. If it had Michael Jordan on it, somehow that was going to help me play better, right? And that was my mentality. And that's kind of what the Bible's talking about here. Don't worry about those kinds of things. Did those kind of clothing really help me play better? I mean, maybe this to some extent. I guess it could if you really want to look into it. But in the grand scheme of things, guess what? There was this kid, I'll never forget his name. His name was Robbie Coomer. He was this kid who was so fast. Man, the kid was so fast. I hate playing against him. Every time I go down there and see him on the playground, I was like, great. You know, here's Robbie Coomer. Man, this kid is so quick. I could barely keep up with him. I was considered quick, you know, back in the day. And I could barely keep up with this kid. And but when he would come, he was wearing like tube socks and like messed up gym shoes and ratty shorts and t-shirt. And guess what, man, what he wore didn't affect whatsoever. You know, and looking back on this now, I realize that. But you know, as a teenager, I used to think this kind of stuff is going to help me better. It's gonna help me play basketball better. The same thing can be said in your workplace. Let's say your workplace, you work at a hospital, let's say. And your department says they want you to wear scrubs to work. Well, guess what? Wearing a $100 pair of scrubs is not going to make you a better worker than wearing a $30 pair, right? Don't worry about those kinds of things. That's what the Bible's sitting here telling us. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. You know, just obviously wear what you got to wear. But at the same time, don't worry about having the nicest stuff, right? And now, there are exceptions to this, okay? But there are some people that genuinely will worry about this and they will put themselves into debt because they have to try to fit in with the Joneses, if you will, right? And that's what it's talking about here. Yes, there are venues, and yes, there are places when it does call to dress up nicely and to wear the best that you have and to actually go out of your way to buy extra stuff so you have the nice things to wear. But at the same time, shouldn't be something that you're worried about. If you're worried about these kinds of things and the Lord hasn't provided a way for you to get them, don't worry about it, right? Put on what you got and carry on with life, right? If it's the Lord's will for you to have some of these things, then he's going to provide a way for it. But that's why the Bible's saying, don't worry about it. Be content with what you have. Look at what you have and say, you know what? This is what the Lord provided. I'm okay with it. That's what these verses are saying. You are more than what you wear or what you eat. Some people, I've met some people when we lived in South America that felt like for their social thing, they always had to go to the nicest restaurants. And if they wanted to stay within their little social circle, they had to be seen at these certain places. And I used to think to myself, how silly is that? Go where you want. You know, that's my thing. If you don't want to eat it, then don't eat it. You know, go wherever you feel like eating. But no, they felt like they had to go here because the right people were there, you know, to be seen. They had to be seen by them, right? And so that's what's, you know, we're more than what we eat. We're more than what we wear. We have to understand that. I think I'm probably preaching to the choir with half of this stuff, but it's an important thing to remember, and it's an important thing to remind others of. We're more than what we eat, and then more than what we wear. Verse 26, it says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet our heavenly Father feeds them, right? But they do work. We don't see I've used this example before. We don't see birds on the power lines with their mouth open pointing to the sky, do we? We see birds flying around looking for worms, right? The Bible says God provides for them, but they are working. They are getting out there looking for worms, right? That's the point there. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Nobody, right? Verse 31 says, or excuse me, verse 30 says, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" You know, when we worry about these things, it shows how little our, how small our faith is. If we don't have, if our faith is not strong, we weren't going to worry about this kind of stuff. If our faith is strong, guess what? We're not going to worry. Hey, the Lord's going to provide what he's going to provide. Again, coming to that place of contentment. Just being okay with it. You know, you don't drive a nice car, and I've known some people that this would be embarrassed. This is hard because this is a lot pointing at myself. I used to be worried about driving a nice car. I used to be embarrassed about driving an old junky car. You know, going back to my pride and stuff. I just didn't like it. So what I do one time, when my first car I bought in the military was a bit out of my comfort zone, but I bought it anyway, and guess what? Hardly had any money half the time. I bought this car, was making payments on it, and then there's this other buddy I had that he went out and bought his first car with his military money, and guess what he ended up with? Like a 1970s Cadillac. I'm thinking, this 19-year-old kid driving a 1970s Cadillac, what are you thinking? And then guess what he did also? He went down to Goodwill and bought like this 1970s suit to go along with it just to make a joke. And when he first got out of his car, I remember we all laughing about it. You know, he's like, who in the world is driving up in this car? You know, we got our nice little shiny cars and barely can make ends meet to pay for it. But there we are. And then here he comes. His name's Eckerman. That's his last name. Well, Eckerman. He looked just like his name. And there he is. He drives up in this Cadillac, music blaring with 8-track tapes, and gets out in a 70s suit, you know, with big old collars and stuff. Man, it was the funniest thing. But he was so proud of that car, I'll tell you. But that's he bought within his means. He got something nice and comfortable. But you know, that's kind of the point, you know. And he was fine with it. If this is all I can afford, this is what God has been provided, then I'm fine with it. You know, and that's how he carried on life. And that's a neat example. He didn't have the nicest stuff. Because that's not what God gave him, you know. And again, he probably could have stretched just like we did, right? But it wasn't. He was trying to be wise with what God gave him. But it's also talking about the birds of the air. You know, there used to one of my favorite birds when I was little was peacocks. I used to hate roosters because they always attacked me. You know, I used to say, take the stick whenever you go out to, you know, mess with the chickens, beat the roosters off and stuff like that. But you know, some roosters are very, my dad likes chickens, and he always get these little exotic chickens that had like furry feet. You know, and the little, like, looked like they were real small, too. But he paid money for those things. But, you know, you look at all these different kinds of birds, and the bald eagle is another good example of a bird I think is just fun to look at, you know. And you look at these birds and how the Lord has made them. You know, some birds, flamingos, about the weirdest looking bird you're ever going to see. What in the world was God thinking when he made a flamingo? And they're pink, you know, of all things. You know, but God made all these different kinds of birds, and to somebody, man, these things are just... they're beautiful, if you will. You know, all the different kinds of things we can see. Pigeons and doves, you know, and pick whichever bird you like. You know, they're neat to look at. But the Lord says, if I've clothed them in this way, to be very different, if you will, and to have their own little personalities and their own little their little things that they portray, their own colors, you know, how much more do I care about you, Bible is saying? I can clothe you. I can make you look good. I can make you into the person that I need you to be. Don't worry about it. And he calls people that worry about this. He says, oh, ye of little faith. Don't worry about those kinds of things. If I'm clothing the birds, don't, you know, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. You know, God is saying. Verse 31 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And that's just a reiteration of what the Bible's already said. When the Bible reiterates something, it's just kind of putting more emphasis on it, right? So that's kind of what it's saying there. Verse 32 says, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. My wife and I are celebrating our 15th anniversary this year. February. I say this year. This next year. In February. 15 years. All right? It's not much compared to some of y'all. But we're striving for what the longevity, if you will, what some of y'all have done. Neat example. But anyway, 15 years this year. All right? Coming up on 15 years. And we're trying to think, what do we want to do this year? Because 15 is generally a bigger deal. You know, try to make a big deal out of it. But at the same time, we got some other goals. You know, we're wanting to build a house, and we're really trying to save money for that. And so this year, we were trying to say, should we do something big, since it is 15, you know? Or should we just kind of keep it simple? You know, keep it simple. And we're praying about it. And that's one of those things that we just ask the Lord. Lord, if the Lord wants us to be able to go out and do something just extravagant, which, I mean, it's fine if that's the way it happens, then we'll let the Lord provide that. What's he going to do? He's going to give us peace one way or the other. He's going to show us an opportunity, and it's going to click with both of us, right? We're both going to look at it and be like, oh, man, that'd be a good idea, versus saying, meh, maybe that'd be fun. You know, when it's the Lord's will, things just click together, right? So we're praying about that. Should we do something big? Should we do something simple? You know, and we're just going to let the Lord deal with it. Like I said, if he shows us the opportunities, we both seem excited about it, then we'll do it. But if he doesn't, and then we'll just be like, okay, we'll keep it simple this year. But that's kind of the thing that I'm talking about. When the Bible says don't worry about these things, there's just another example that you can say, and another way you can just not worry about it. If the Lord really wants you to do it, we're going to have a great desire to do it. And not only that, we're both going to be in agreement. We're both going to have a peace about it. Say, all right, let's go do it. That's how the Lord leads. He doesn't lead you in a place where you're going to be all in turmoil and your mind's going to be all chaotic and you're worried about every little thing. You know, if that's kind of how you're going into the Lord's will, it might not be the Lord's will. With the Lord's will, there comes peace, right? With the Lord's will, there comes the promise, if you will, fulfilled. When God says, come unto me, all you who are weary and of a heavy laden, I will give you rest. In that same passage there, he talks about his burden is light. When it's the Lord's will, things seem easy. Now, the undertaking might be a little difficult, but everything will come together in an easy manner. That's how the Lord's will works. And that's how he promises. It's going to be light. It might seem heavy when you look at it from the outside in, but when it's actually going on, the Lord's helping you through it, it's going to be an easy undertaking, if you will. Right? You're going to look back and be like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Right? So, you know, following the Lord's will, it's how it is. Don't need to worry about these things. For after all these things, in verse 32, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know, the Lord knows what we need. We already just read that when we pray that the Holy Spirit knows what we're going to ask before we even ask it. Right? Before we even pray, the Holy Spirit already knows how to go before us and help make our prayers right. I've heard a lot of people say in the past, I don't know how to pray. Well, don't worry about that. You're worrying about something that you don't really have to worry about. Why? Because the Holy Spirit already says he comes alongside you to help you pray. Even when you pray and you mess up and you don't even know what to say, guess what? The Holy Spirit's already there beside you helping pray. Right? So you don't got to worry. If you don't know how to pray and it's not very elegant or whatever, however you think you need to talk to the Lord, just pray. And I was encouraging that young individual last night, you know, about praying, because they said much the same thing. Well, I don't know how to really talk to God. You know, I've grown up in church. I spent a lot of years in church when I was young, but I don't really understand how to pray. Like, man, just start talking. You know, how are you talking to me? Talk to the Lord like you talk to anybody else. And it's not supposed to be difficult. You know, God never set it up, especially with Christ dying on the cross. It's not supposed to be something. Getting to God is not supposed to be difficult. Why? He's right there, right? He's always right there. We can talk to him at any time. Verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Right? This is a common verse. Many folks have learned this and recited it ever since they were little. And if you haven't, it's a good verse to remember. Because guess what? When you're in a time of need, the first thing you need to check and you need to figure out what's going on. Lord, what's going on here? Why does everything seem so difficult? The first thing you need to do is check yourself. Are you seeking after the things of the Lord? That verse again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Right? If you're seeking the Lord first, you don't have to worry about all the things that you need being added to you. If you're not seeking the Lord, then yeah, maybe you should worry a little bit. Right? And if you're finding yourself in great need and you don't know what's going on, check yourself. Have you been seeking the Lord first? That's the first thing you need to check out. Because if you're not, if you find yourself in great need and you have not been seeking the Lord, well, guess whose fault it is? Well, it's none other than your own. Right? You haven't been seeking the Lord first. You have not been taking hold of that promise. Every time we seek the Lord first, above all things, guess what's going to happen? All these things are going to be added unto you. And that encompasses everything that we've just read. All these things are going to be added unto you. Now you can sit here and make a list. Well, what kinds of things, Lord? Food, housing, car, whatever the Lord wills for your life, right? Goodness, all kinds of things. Fellowship with friends, church. Put it on there. Make the list, right? You're dealing with a really hard temptation, let's say, or other trial, and you want the Lord to deliver you out of them all. Guess what? Seek him first. Don't worry about that other stuff. Yeah, trials are going to come. Life is extremely hard. We understand that. But guess what? If you want it to go easier, the first thing you need to do is start seeking the Lord first. Make time for him. Make time for him, right? There are different ways. If you've been a Christian more than a while, and some of us have developed our own little ways that we like to talk to the Lord and seek him out. And some of them are very different. I've heard of some people having prayer closets. It's nothing I've really ever tried before, but it'd be interesting. I hear of people doing it. I think it's a good idea. I hear of other people that their prayer times when they drive. They got a long drive every morning to work. You know, everybody has their own little relationship with the Lord, right? It's rooted in the Lord, of course, but they all have their own relationship. If you have 10 friends, let's say, is your relationship with each one of those people the exact same? No, because people are different. It's the same thing with us. In our relationship with God, guess what? It doesn't have to be just like somebody else. It doesn't have to be like Mike or Joe or Robert or Wanda or anybody. It can be different. Why? Because we're different than they are. Our relationships with God can be very different. It doesn't have to be just like somebody, oh man, I'm not praying like that person is. Maybe there's something wrong. You know, don't worry about that. You know, God's our Father. Talk to Him how you would in the way that is most comfortable to you. You know, seek Him in a way that's comfortable, if you will. But the point is that we do have to seek after Him. That's the point, right? And so, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So make sure your life is walking with God. Make sure you every day that you get up, if you can look back on a month of your life, you can look back on that month and say, you know what, habitually, right, there's a trend of me walking with the Lord throughout this past month, right? Yeah, we might have those days when we might miss something or our judgment and our decision-making is just bad for that day. You know, the Lord's not going to hold that against us per se. We just got to make sure that we have a regular, if you all are getting that, I'm going to beat a dead horse, if you will. But just make sure you're walking with the Lord, right? Do your best to get to it every day. Look back on your life and say, you know what, I could have done better these past month. And then do better. Right? You always got to have something higher to shoot for. That's one thing that's important in life. And then verse 34 serves as a good conclusion here. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day and its own trouble. Right? So it tells us there, it gives us that command again. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. Yeah. I found in my life that when I've had, the times that I've had the least to worry about, I didn't really worry, and I relate that to when I was deployed in Iraq. I didn't have much except my bunk, my locker, and literally like three changes of clothes. That was all I had. Didn't have no radio, didn't have nothing. TV, no car, no nothing, right? That's all we had. Little room, very tiny room, and had an air conditioner. That's one thing I did worry about. If that thing broke, maybe we were struggling. You know, when it was too hot. But I didn't worry about much. And I remember thinking to myself, that was a time in my life when I could concentrate on every single day. I rarely thought out past that one day. And as that day would draw to a close, I remember being thankful about it. Man, we made it through another day. And just being able to relish in that moment of, and enjoy that moment of just being thankful just for that day. And since then, I hate to say it, I don't think I've really ever been back in that space. But you know what it took for me to be in that space is to hardly have anything. I didn't have much to worry about. It was just those few little things. But you know what, like I said, that was a time in my life when I just remember being thankful for every single day. Getting to the end, and I remember that just that feeling of, man, what a good day it's been, you know, and really sitting in that feeling, if you will. But the Bible says, don't worry. If we can be in that space, you know, it's a neat place to be in. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. That's what the Bible's telling us. And then this last little sentence here is interesting. It says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, sufficient. You know, one thing the Bible says that God provides everything that we need to live a life of godliness. Everything that we need, right? Now, does He provide everything that you need to live a life of a millionaire? No, maybe not, right? Does He provide everything you need to live a life of as a cop, and you're not even a cop? No, because that's not what God's called you to be, right? But what God has called you to be, whatever that is, myself being a preacher or choir members or whatever it could be, guess what? Whatever the God's called you to, He said, I can provide for I will provide everything you need to live the life that I've called you to live. Every single thing that you need. And not only to live it as God called you to live it, but to be able to live it in a godly way. Right? So that's one thing we always have to keep in mind. When we're walking in the path that God wants us to walk in, we don't have to worry about Him not providing. Now, if we decide to get off of this path and try to do something else that's not in God's will, then guess what? He's not going to provide that way. I've known some people, even today, I still know some of these people, and I talk to them on somewhat of a regular basis. They feel like it's they need to be the richest people in the world. They want to be millionaires. That's their goal, right? So they've read all the right books. They've got the right degrees. They know the right people, and nothing just ever works out. Nothing ever works out for them. They'll do silly things like hang pictures of top of the line Lexuses and Mercedes in their house. So what they're constantly thinking of is, if I want that, then I have to get rich. That's kind of like their way of thinking. But you know what? If God's not called them to be that person, guess what? He's not going to provide for it. Right? And I pray about it, and I really think the Lord's going to come through this year, and He might, maybe. But at the same time, if it's not God's will for them to live that way, guess what He's not going to do? He's not going to provide them a way to get there. And if he does provide them a way to get there, it's going to be to teach them a lesson to show them, hey, this is not really a good idea, right? God's not going to provide you a way to destroy yourself unless you just really are pushing against God's will and you're really trying to go against the Lord. But again, going back to where God has called us to be, he's going to provide you a way to do it. Goodness, there's been so many examples in our life, me and Angelo, even our marriage, it's just wild. I didn't even have to try very hard. I don't know. It didn't come naturally. My charm and all this didn't come naturally. You know, with Angel, I didn't even have to try hard. Somehow he set it up to, he got her ready to get ready to marry me for whatever reason. That's a funny story. Hopefully some of y'all can say the same. But again, maybe not. Maybe it was God's will for you to really pursue your significant other, basically just about to the ends of the earth, you know, to make things work out. I don't know. But for me, goodness sake, when I think back on how we got married and how everything worked out, it's just, I don't know. I like to say that I really went to the ends of the earth and I did all these romantic things, you know, and went above and beyond any other guy. I don't know what I did, guys. When she said yes to go out with me the first time, I was wearing this whole messed up outfit. I just got off work and it was messed up. I don't know. Whatever happened, it was the Lord's will. I can tell you that. And I think that's probably why it happened that way. So he could show me that, guess what? It wasn't anything you did to win her affection, because it wasn't. It's funny to look back on those things. Good grief. I have to tell you all these stories some of these days. That was a mess, y'all. Jeez, I don't know. Thank the Lord for that. He's the one that made my marriage happen. I'll tell you that right now. But not only just my marriage, but so many other things. So many other things. I look at where we're at now. God made it happen. You know what? And again, looking at that past, sometimes we can't see more than two steps ahead. But in the place that we are at, we have to learn to be content. You know, the Lord might put us in a place with a certain sickness or with certain great trials in your life. And you have to look at it and say, you know what? I'm content to be here. Why? Because the Lord could use this in the future to help me help somebody else. You know, he might be looking to the future 2 years from now, and the Lord looks at that and says, you know what? I know so-and-so is going to be going through this, and it'd be nice if they had somebody to help walk alongside them. So I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to let somebody else go through this that I know can handle it really well. I'm going to let them go through this great trial also. So guess what? 2 years in the future, they're going to be ready to help this other person. Sometimes that's the way God works, and we have to be ready for that. So wherever we're at, we have to be content. We might not like it, we might not enjoy it, but be content. And just know that God's in control. And then the last thing we look at here is seeking God's kingdom first. If we want the Lord to add to us, we want to have everything we need, make sure that we're seeking God first. That has to be a staple, if you will, of our relationship with him. All right? Okay. Actually, that's good to see everybody here today. Some of y'all are starting to laugh about with my conclusions. I just didn't even look at my conclusions this morning. That's okay. But it's good to see everybody here today. We got food going. Somebody was telling me, he's like, keep it short this morning. We got to eat. And I was like, I know. I only had one page of notes, and I thought it was going to be shorter, but it wasn't. Well, like I said, thank you all for being here today. If y'all have, hopefully y'all can stay and eat, because the food is always good over there. In my opinion, if you don't stay for anything except for the peach cobbler over there, then, man, it's been a good day. That peach cobbler, I don't know. I like all the food that's over there, but for whatever reason, that peach cobbler, like, that's one of the things I always look forward to every time we have meals together. I was also almost half tempted to ask Charles to see if he'd bake us an extra so I could have it with my family. So I've been bragging about it, the peach cobbler, but I kind of felt bad because I know he's busy, with the turkey and everything. I might call him up and say, hey, I need one. Yeah, thank you all for being here today. We're going to be dismissed. We're also going to pray over the food so we don't have to do that when we get over there. We can just jump straight in line. If you're the first one over there, just get straight in line if they're ready to go. That way we can just get through, because by the time I get over there, I want the line to be moving. So I want to eat. All right. So anyway, CW, I'll ask if you to dismiss us, please. What's that? Oh, man. Yeah. See, I'm thinking about. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what I'd do without someone. Yeah. All right. They should be coming over here in a second. Yeah, I want to know what I do. That I'm already thinking about food and everything. We got to have our invitation, and you know the important thing about the invitation is just salvation in general. When we think about invitation, we think about that kind of stuff. I was thinking about this individual, and the reason why this comes up, I was thinking about this individual I was talking to last night. This person said they thought they were a Christian. They said they thought they were, right? And they get to the place where they said that they basically said, they know the devil's controlling them every time it comes to drugs. And I've heard that many times when it comes to addict. They say they know it. And they said there's no way that they can be a Christian if this is happening. Right? But they said they always thought they were. And that's the important thing about the salvation message in your Christian life. You might go through life just like this individual thinking, man, I'm saved and everything's going good. But you know what? You might come a time in your life and the Lord shows you that you're not. You know, that's why it's important to examine ourselves. That's why it's important to keep these things in mind, you know, about salvation. If you've ever been that kind of person, you've ever doubted your salvation, you know, maybe I'm not saved, right? It is kind of a good place to be because it means you're worried about it, right? But, be praying for those individuals. There could be somebody here today that they've gone through their whole life, going to church every single day, every Sunday, never missed the service, and everything's all good, you know, but they might get to some place and find out what the Lord shows them. You're not really saved, right? And if there's somebody like that here this morning, pray for them, because that's a hard thing to have to deal with, right? So pray for them. If that's you, then we got plenty of people here that can deal with those kinds of things. Any other thing anybody wants prayer over, just come forward. You know, if you don't want to talk to me, goodness, about every person I look at in here, you can go to them and ask them to pray with you, right? So that's the purpose of invitations. You know, just come forward while we're in the protection of other believers, because when we're outside the presence of other believers, life gets harder. You know, you might not realize it, but it does, right? Life gets just a little bit harder, and the enemy gets a little bit stronger outside of our presence, you know, of our collective presence, you know. So be thinking about that. All right, we'll go ahead and sing a verse 2 of invitation. If I didn't skip anything else, just thinking about food. Are we good? I was trying to skip the invitation. I was thinking about food. Think about peach cobbler. We can blame it on Charles. So let's do that. That's a story. I'm gonna stick to that one this morning. Blame it on Charles. All right, CW. Now, can you pray for the food also as you dismiss us?
Dear Lord,